44 ships strain against their anchor lines, their hulls heavy with hope and desperate purpose. Nemed, son of Agnomon, stands at the prow of the lead vessel, his hands gripping timber that will carry him toward legend or doom. This is the quest for power.
Welcome to the Quest for Power, where we are rating and reviewing the interesting characters of the British Isles and Scandinavia from creation until the end of the Dark Ages, or early Middle Ages. Today we are beginning with the third invasion of Ireland, led by, spoiler alert, Nemed. As always, I am your unreliable narrator, Michael, and the Chaos Goblin who joins me on this adventure through the mythological cycle is...
Hi, my name is Scott.
Scott? I haven't heard that name in a long, long time.
Hi, it's Roberto. Alrighty. So, hello everyone. It's a pleasure to be here today. I am here to not be chaotic, because I have taken something that calms me down. Have you heard of this little drink called vodka, Michael?
Oh, I've heard that it comes from the East.
Maybe. I don't know. This is from Scandinavia, actually.
Oh, that's funny. I am drinking, I would say Irish, but it's actually bourbon. My Irish whiskey, I was too lazy to open up.
This glass is half full of vodka.
For those who are not watching, because of course you're not, Roberto's got a pretty sizable cup. It's impressive.
18 ounces.
I mean, it is Thirsty Thursday, so you got that going for you.
It's mango passion fruit, actually.
Mango passion fruit vodka?
No, just mango passion fruit. Zero sugar, too. Because I'm diabetic.
Oh, so with Everclear. Got it.
No. Never. Not again.
So, Roberto, you want to fill us in? It's been a hot minute. Do you remember what happened last episode? I believe it was Partholon.
It was Partholon. So what happened in Partholon's episode is no one's dick exploded.
That is true.
But Partholon killed his parents. He then killed a bunch of people. He fought a bunch of one arm and one legged entities.
And one eyed.
Is this just the penis again?
No, they're the Fomorians.
The Fomorians.
There's some sea creatures that we're gonna hear over and over and over again.
Okay, so yeah, he fought the Fomorians, he established a kingdom. And you know, he did a good job. He had a wife, he had some kids, and then 2020 happened. And yes. They all died.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
And then one more thing. No one's like exploded, but there is still some, potential fanfic there if you're into two guys, because he knew what the lips of one guy tasted like because he felt it on his cup.
That is right. That could be a fun, like, fanfic triangle with the wife, Topa, and the king.
I mean, I guess Topa's trying to get Partholon jealous, which is why he seduces the queen, but...
Yeah, probably. I wonder if he was more upset that Partholon left than the queen was.
Probably. But anyways, let's get started on this guy. That was the second invasion. We're on a third invasion, because this one should stick, right? Third time's a charm?
Of course. And as you've said, Ireland is once again empty. Partholon's settlements stand abandoned. It's kind of this eerie, mythical ghost kingdom. I'm sure some of the stone buildings are kind of cracking in the foundations if you've ever watched Life After People.
Michael.
Ireland is slowly retaking the land.
Michael, it's not pronounced eerie. It's pronounced ire.
What?
E-I-R-E. Ire.
I'm not talking about Ireland. I'm saying eerie, like as in an ear, like a spooky.
You missed the joke. Fine, whatever.
I missed it.
I can't do this anymore.
I'm sorry. If you explain it, it'll be funnier.
No, too late. It's supposed to be a pun. Whatevs. Anyway. It was a very ire place. Thank you. You sound like a Martian from Mars Attack.
As you've said, 9,000 people were taken out in a single week. So this place had to be freaking nightmare fuel. Like, they don't talk about it in the things, but imagine, like, what that looks like right now with 9,000 corpses just fucking drop dead. And they're not, like, preserved like Mount Vesuvius was. They're just there. Probably all in sick positions or, like, keeling over.
Well, if you want to have a very good view of what this may look like, look at somewhere in the south during COVID.
We'll leave that at that. Oh, and when I say Ireland's empty, I'm saying what the scribes probably think is empty. We still have the Fomorians there, as we were talking about, you know, who got their asses handed to them by Partholon, but they started rebuilding their strongholds overlooking the island, seeing if anyone else wants to come next.
The one ass cheek.
Yes, you are correct. And then, meanwhile, all the way across the map, all the way into the land of Scythia, because why not, is the scene of our cold open. So, Roberto, the sources give us nothing on why this Nemed son of Agnomon leaves. Why does he leave?
His best friend's dick exploded.
That would make me leave as well. Yeah. Okay. Sounds good.
And he was next if he didn't leave. He was trying to seduce a priestess, and she's like, if you do not leave the land of Scythia, your one-eyed snake will explode by the day's end.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense. So yeah, he booked it out of there. And while he's on the ship, looking over a fleet of about 40 ships as they take off, next to him is his wife, Maka. Therefore, this is the first time that name is mentioned in Irish mythology. It will become said again and again and again. Anyway.
Maka, Maka. Why does that sound so familiar?
Makamangruath sound familiar? Yeah.
That lady, the best lady.
That lady, yeah. We'll meet another one soon too, so it'll be kind of fun. Anyway, their four sons, Starn, Larbanel, and the Prophet Aeneid, and Fergus Redside, and they all are commanding their own ships. So they got four sons, and they're commanding their own ships.
Wait, Aeneid?
A-N-N-I-N-D.
Okay. It's
Aeneid?
Not... Okay. I thought you said Aeneid, not Aeneid. Okay.
That's fine.
I was like, Aeneid? Are we going Roman here now?
I mean, no, I won't.
Then there's Michael going down another tangent now.
That is what the written stuff is for, so I can go down those tangents. Anyway, according to some sources, the journey stretches on for about 18 months, and that would suck, because it's not like these ships are like these nice cruise ships we have today. It's like this little wooden rickety ship. I can't imagine, like, trying to cross it. Have you ever seen, like, what the ships they came over from, like, Britain? I can't imagine what they were traveling in.
So, I can, because if you've played Assassin's Creed Odyssey, you have a similar ship.
Oh, there you go.
So, essentially, you're going to have a long ship with a flat top on top, essentially, with a sail on it, because you need, you know, your wind power. But on the bottom of that ship, you're going to have multiple oars. You're going to have a lot of benches. You're going to have people in there rowing the ship continuously to keep it going forward, especially when you don't have much wind, because the sails weren't that great back in the day. And here's what happens. You're sitting ass to ass with the person there or rowing this long oar to propel the ship forward. So it's a very cramped space, and you're going to be basically going along the coast for as long as you can, which is why these voyages take so long, because you're not going straight across the Mediterranean or the sea or anything like that. You're going along the coast because you want to be able to get fresh water, you don't want to be able to get food, but you don't want to, you know, hop on and off all the time, because that could be bad for you too. And you want to have enough food for those little stretches of, you know, time when you are going over the long patches of water.
That was awesome. I could not have said it better myself. You are 100% correct. By the time they land in Ireland, they also, I don't know if you mentioned, there's incredible hardships. There are usually so many storms. So we have about 5 ships remaining when they land from the original 40. That's not great odds if you're a mathematician.
I'm not. So what percentage of those ships survived?
5/40. My wife is. I am not.
Aren't you an accountant?
I am an accountant.
You can do the accounting, my good sir.
Ugh. Let me do the accounting.
5 divided by 40.
12.5%.
That's very low odds. But, you know, over a 10%, chance to actually survive.
Yeah, that's not great.
No, Nymeria did so much better.
Yes. Yes, she did.
So, you know what they should have done is they should have put a woman in charge and it would have been fine.
Yeah, I mean, well, I can't say Cesaire because all of her ships destroyed except for hers too as well. So, yeah, I would agree though. You need to find a woman like Nymeria.
Or Makamang Ruah.
Yeah, you need a princess really is what mm-hmm. you need. A royal princess seems to be the trick. Anyway, Nemed's wife Maka takes her first steps ashore and she's finally relieved to be at their destination. They have been on the seas for 18 months, living in constant terror, and the loss of their ships kept being swallowed up by the waves, which would just be horrific. And just imagine that for 18 months. So then she begins organizing camp, assigns work parties, starts planning like where they're going to start building their permanent settlements. Pretty much settlement 101. And then 12 days after they arrive in Ireland, she dies.
Was she the only woman?
No, she is not the only woman.
Well, poor Maka. Well, yeah. All right. Royal power.
Nice try. Nemed isn't given much time to grieve. In fact, the Fomorians emerge from their ancient strongholds, led by the brothers Gon and Sengon, which is really funny for later. Ooh, anyway.
As a Hunter Hunter fan, having the name Gon, I'm like, ooh, Gon.
It's going to be, those are the exact same names of two future kings, which is really funny. Also really confusing. Anyway, they strike at Nemed's settlement, burning crops, robbing them of their livestock. So now Nemed is now forced to transfer himself from a struggling adventurer into a warrior king. So yeah, like I doubt they've been fighting like full on wars since then. So he's got to really turn this thing around. He gathers his warriors and they march back to strike at the ancient forces. And Nemed turns out to be a pretty damn good war chieftain. He wins 3 successive battles against the Fomorians and strikes down both the kings Gon and Sengon.
I guess they are now gone.
Didn't. This is when you would add in the of clip going boo.
No, it's my joke. Why would I ever do that?
Oh, brother, this guy stinks!
Unfortunately, the victories were quite costly for Nemed. In one battle, one of his sons named Arthur, who must have been born in Ireland, right after they landed within those 12 days, might be why Maka died. He dies in the fighting. And another son, Starn, falls to a Fomorian named Conand.
Conan the Barbarian!
Yes, exactly. Between battles, the Nemedians transform Ireland itself. They clear 12 huge areas of forest and stone across Ireland, and they turn this vast wilderness into a farmland to start building their little kingdom. 4 new lakes also appear during Nemed's time, including one that bursts from the ground while they're digging a grave for one of his sons, Enid. So that isn't great that his son died, but hey, it produced water.
So that's 3 sons dead?
Yes, 3 sons dead.
So he has 1 left.
No, 2 left. Okay, one of the sons was okay. Born in Ireland.
Oh, Arthur?
Yes, or Arthur, as it's spelled.
Arthur, okay.
But I'm going to go with Arthur. So, the sources don't tell us how Enid died, so it's time to play our favorite game. Roberto, how did he die?
All right, here's how the son died. He was out hunting one day with his favorite pack animal and his dog. And while he was out in the woods, he had his friend there with him. A bow went up, and the arrow was let loose, and it went right over Enid's head. His friend was like, oh no, I'm so sorry, I didn't mean to do that. And Enid's like, oh no, it's fine, it's fine. I'm very concerned that you did that, though. He's like, no, there was a deer right in front of you. And he's like, and then it looks up and goes, oh, yes, there was a deer. And then he's like, okay, that's fine. And then as he goes back to turn to face his friend, he hits his head on a branch and it breaks his neck in half and he falls down dead.
Yes. Beautiful.
Just dead.
Love it.
Not where you thought I was going with this, was it?
Nope. Oh, Roberto's DM skills coming in handy. Anyway, the Nemedians build 2 fortresses And we have a little extra bit of info on the second fortress. Four brothers managed to dig the entire fortress, the second one, in one day.
Press X for doubt.
Yeah, maybe. And then Nemed rewards them by executing them the next morning for their hard work.
Wow, what a dick.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's a pretty fucked up act. But one tale says he feared that he might build something better for the Fomorians. Other ones say that he wanted to conceal the secrets of the fortress. Either way, it's a pretty fucked up act. I get it. Real politique. But not great.
They also built it in a day, so it couldn't have been that great of a fortress.
That is true. That is true. Maybe he's like, God, you guys, like, really? That was pretty shoddy workmanship.
You guys put up three poles into a tent, and you call this a fortress? You're dead now, bitches. Off with their penises! Sorry, I'm not over the penis explosion.
I mean, it was a cataclysmic event.
You know,
it is one of the most interesting things that is going to happen for a while.
That was a very explosive orgasm.
It was. That is a very unfortunate, I mean, or fortunate way to die for him, I guess. Karma can be a real bitch sometimes. Suddenly Nemec gets a cough, and then the next day he's dead. And that is the end of the life and reign of Nemed, son of Agnomon, king of Ireland.
Okay.
Ready to him?
I guess. Royal power.
He won three battles against the Fomorians, and the Fomorians aren't really pushovers. They seem like it, but trust me, when we get later on, they're not pushovers.
That's it?
That's it. It's an expedition at this point. It's not a kingdom, in my opinion.
Two.
Yeah, sure. Sounds good.
That is a four for royal power. Infamy.
The act of murdering the fortress builders is appalling. At the same time, I get it. It's a common trope, you know? You kill the builders so they can't, you know, tell people the secrets of the fortress.
Ivan the Terrible did it when someone built the church for him, so.
Yeah, I mean, it happens. It's not great, but it happens.
One
as well. Yep, exactly what I was thinking.
Two for infamy. Oath of Devotion.
Nada.
Zero for Oath of Devotion. Bardic Inspiration.
Honestly, his story bores me. This seems like a money-grabbing sequel to Partholone, and it did not need to be made, and it's just a poor rehash of the original.
Zero.
Yeah.
Legacy.
Alright, so at the time of death, he actually substantially transformed the land in mythical scope. He actually arguably has one of the biggest impacts to date and for a long time. He cleared off all of these named planes that I did not want to bore the readers with, nor did I want to pronounce those names.
Readers? You're not reading
listeners.
Us.
And I did not want to also pronounce those names. There are several planes that he cleared, and he constructed two fortresses to start the beginnings of a defensive stronghold, which is pretty good for longevity of his kingdom. He kept the Fomorians at bay until his death, so he set up his family actually pretty well. Like, they should have a fighting chance at making this whole thing work.
I'm feeling a one.
I'll give a five.
Alrighty. Man, that's a rough.
That is rough.
Okay, with a four in royal power, a two in infamy, a zero in oath of devotion and bardic inspiration, and a six in legacy, that gives him 12 points total, which puts him in joint 16th place, which is basically second from the bottom.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
The only person who's at the bottom is Cesare and Gibica Gundamar, Gisahur, and Gunter.
Yep, that checks out. Early king problems.
Yep. Now, Michael.
In the annals of history, is he good enough to be placed in the Hall of Legends? Just good enough to be an NPC? Or does he deserve to be burned at the stake? His existence ashes in the wind.
So here's the thing. None of them.
I
don't want to give him any of them.
I want to burn him because he bores me.
We can't just burn people because they're boring, Michael.
Yes, we can.
No, I don't agree with this. If anything, I'm going to go with the default lesser noble because he's just you know, is that worth remembering?
I mean, that's fair. I don't know. He is so boring.
I know, but like, everyone else got a lesser noble for being boring.
Yeah, but this is an exceptional boring. This is like, you're reaching, like, this is worse than the Star Wars sequels.
I'm not sullying the ashes of burning people at the stake for boring.
All right.
They have to deserve it, Michael.
Sounds good.
So, NPC it is. Hooray!
All right, we're not done yet.
God damn it.
I would go so far as to say we haven't even reached the climax of the story. There's a reason I wanted to skip over his reign, but you kind of need that little setup for what happens after. When
everyone gets sick and dies,
Nemed passes into the next life, a power vacuum is left on the island. It seems like he was single-handedly keeping the Fomorians at bay with his leadership. And I say that because two kings, Conand, who killed one of his sons, and Mork, descended from their tower on Tory Island, and they conquered Nemed's people pretty freaking easily. And when they conquer them, they impose a brutal tax. 2/3 of all grain, 2/3 of all cattle, and 2/3 of all children delivered every Samhain or Halloween.
So these are just Fae.
I mean, the Fomorians, they're a mystical force. Sometimes they're sea pirates.
Fae-morians.
Sometimes they're Fae. No, we have not met the Fae yet, but they're kind of the Fae. Anyway, this kind of tribute strips away not just wealth, but it strips away the next generation. You're taking out 2/3 of the next people. That's pretty rough. The Nemedians essentially become slaves in the kingdoms that their fathers built, and every year they watch their children marched away, you know, every Samhain, while their harvests disappear along with them in the Fomorian ships. It's a pretty horrific sight. Like, we make fun of it, but if this was, like, real, this is horrific stuff. Mm-hmm. It's like the slow strangulation of a people. But here's the thing about oppression. Eventually, the oppressed have nothing to lose, and defiance becomes a lot more inevitable. On top of that, the oppressors kind of get lazy about, and it kind of, you know, to their own detriment. Fergus Lethdurg, Nemed's surviving grandson, finally had enough. In secret, he called the clans together to raise an army using every fighting man they had available.
Iron-Gobroth!
Yes. Throughout the year, they secretly hid weapons all over the place and began their plans with like this, with this bubbling rage. Anyway, we are told in total, 60,000 men answer the call, which is
do you hear a lot. People singing the songs of angry men.
So that tells me one thing. The Medians have been doing a lot of fucking. Because they landed with, what, 5 ships, and now 2/3 of their children would be carried off, and they still had 60,000 fighting men.
Well, remember this. Back in the day, you wanted to have lots of children, because that means more people to work on your
farms.
That
is true. And fill out your kingdom, I guess.
And child mortality was super high.
Yeah. But they somehow survived all the odds to get 60,000 of them. The sources record the strike force as 30,000 at sea and 30,000 on land, and they don't explain, though, how land forces would assault an island fortress.
Michael, you're overthinking this. You read between the lines, they just do it.
They just do it? They just walk on water?
Yeah, they're Jesus. Jesus Christ, gotcha. Superstar.
So, they hatch a plan. On Samhain, the Fomorians are expecting their regular tribute. So, you know, they're expecting ships to arrive and deliver the payment. And, like, for how much shit they gotta carry over, they're expecting a large amount of ships.
Dun, 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 dun.
And then when these ships land, whoo, they're caught completely off guard.
What? We're caught completely off guard.
Before they can lock the tower down and roll up the gates, a massive Nemedian storm the tower that has been oppressive, like that has been the symbol of oppression.
Do you hear the people sing, singing the songs of angry men?
In the tower stands Conan. He actually is taking an... to the Nemedians, he's killing a lot of them, and then finally he well-placed spear impales him and it chucks him all the way into the icy depths below to his grave. The Nemedians then torch the fortress and burn it to the ground. So they won, right? They finally catch their breath, like, oh, we did it.
It is the music of a people who will not be slaves again.
Spoiler alert. Yeah, correct. Sure. Remember I said two kings? Conan and what was the other one? If you've been paying attention.
I forgot the other one's name because they call it kind of sound alike.
Mork. Or more. It's M-O-R-C, so I'm guessing it's more. Anyway.
That sounds like the one of the names in Warhammer, or like is it for like the orcs? Yeah. Marks.
Definitely. I mean, Fomorian kind of fits. Anyway, just when they thought they secured victory, a fleet so vast that it blackens the water is led by Mork and descends on them.
Will you give all you can give so that our banner may advance? Some will fall and some will live. Will you stand up and take your chance?
The Nemedian's fleet engaged them, and the two forces engage in mutual annihilation. And then at one point, some rogue druid of either side casted tsunami and eviscerated both fleets that were consumed in the angry waves.
The blood of the martyrs will water the seas of Ireland.
And when the waves subside, a hushed silence descends across the land. Out of 60,000 Nemedians who launched this attack, only 30 warriors survived the deluge. And they're dragged ashore.
When the beating of your heart echoes the beating of the drums, there is a life about to start when tomorrow comes.
They grab their families and they skit the fuck out of there.
Well,
that is where we will end our tale. Tune in next episode to find out if the fourth invasion can stick around for more than an episode.
I'm so done with
this. Would you like to know how many invasions there are?
Part of me wants to say yes. Part of me just wants to keep getting annoyed every time you say there's going to be another invasion. Because then I'll just start counting down and see, like, all right, we have 10 more invasions to go. So no, don't tell me.
All right, sounds good.
I'll cave eventually, but you know what? For today, no.
Sounds good.
Will you join in our crusade? Who will be strong and stand with me?
Honestly, guys, this is why Ireland is not covered that much. It is pretty brutal with the sources. It is pretty brutal with what they decided was their story. I feel like this was just a genealogy thing, and they just wrote, you know, whatever shit came ashore. I tried to make it as exciting as I could, but... if you enjoyed that episode or Roberto's beautiful voice, give us 5 stars on whatever platform you use for your podcasting desires.
And only 5 stars.
Exactly. You can reach us on Facebook and Instagram, but the best way is by emailing us at questforpowerpod@gmail.com. We are also on Roberto's seat of power, Blue Sky at what?
The Quest for Power at... bluesky.social.
There you go.
I remember it.
That's good because I can't. Anyway.
I can't either. You can write it down at least.
Yeah. But then where's the fun in that? I love watching you go,
czarpowerpod.bsky.social.
There you go. The podcast is researched and scripted by me, Michael, edited by Roberto. We are kind of little more than a podcast now. We have annexed the world of the written world into our petty little kingdom. If you like the kind of storytelling and want more, even if it's a text version, you're going to get it a little more frequently. I try and do every week, barring family issues. And we get a free series, Monarchy Monday, and it's kind of like, right now, my loose framework is that it is based on the Western Europe. So right now, we're in ancient Sparta, way before Leo in the 300.
I didn't know your son was in
it. I know. Neither did I. Kind of crazy. But currently, we're traversing our way also into Quest for Ice and Fire. If you want to learn more about Princess Nymeria and the fascinating storyline of House Martell, which was way better of a story than what these guys came up with. I mean, it is fiction after all. Well,
I mean, I will say this. Nemed had 44 ships and only 5 survived. Nymeria had over 1,000 ships and over hundreds of them survived.
And she turned that into a kingdom where she was ruling in her own right.
As like a co-ruler and then as her own ruler. She's a badass.
Yeah, there's a reason why Arya named her direwolf Nymeria.
So follow us there. And also, like, we have items you can buy on Fourth Wall. So if you want to get a Quest for Power mug, you can do so.
At thequestforpower.com.
And I will also be putting some artwork up there that you can buy on, like, merchandise. So if you want our flower, our Celtic knot crown thing, I call it the Celtic crown because it's just a Celtic knot plover with a crown on top that I drew. So if you want to get that on a mug, you can do that. And then eventually we're going to have a do it all willy-nilly because Michael loves that.
I do want to do that full story, even in this thing in like the free versions, because it's part of the story of Ireland and the British Isles and stuff. But I'm not looking forward to that.
All the willy nilly, let's go!
Thank God the Ulster cycle is ways away. Anyway,
but then there's also going to be potentially one more item that I'm not keeping, that I'm keeping secret for a bit longer.
Ooh. I have no idea. I'm kind of scared.
Oh, you know, it just has to deal with a certain person. It's a Gregory who likes the tours.
I knew that name would haunt me. Anyway, with that, the king is dead.
Look forward to the next invasion. My loneliness is killing me, and I must confess, I still believe, when I'm not with you, I lose my mind. Give me a sign. This is the quest for power.
That was actually pretty good. Way better than I could do.